Again, we want to greet each of you, the worthy, precious, wonderful, blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And a special, special greeting of love and blessing to all you youth. Looks to me like we have them on both sides. Is that right? Yeah, my wife is over here. Yeah. She is the wife of my youth. Hallelujah. Yes, we appreciate each one of you, dear young people, and we want you to know, I know we're older, but we want you to know that we love you, and I'm excited about the potential of your whole life, primarily your whole life before you. And I get excited at the potential that I see looking at your young, youthful, energetic, vigorous faces and the possibilities of all that God would have for you and all the places and things that God would have for each one of you to do. See, I love youth. I love working with youth. I've said it this way already, you dear young people. One way to keep an old man young, you don't have to say amen, is work with youth. And I do teach at IGO at the Bible school, and I love the classroom with the youth. And I'm looking forward to our time together. You see, what you don't know that I feel compelled to tell you is I really wish I could go back and sit where you sit. You see, I am part of what I have chosen to call a wasted years club. And that's not a good club. You don't want to be part of that group of people. I wasted my youthful years. I wasted my young marriage years. I did not find the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior until I was 37 years old. And I'm sorry to tell you that. I have wept before the Lord because the last 27, 28 years of my, yes, I'm a young Christian. Do I have those numbers right? No, she says no. She's the youthful one in our marriage. How many years is it? Aha! She helps me. She's a wonderful helpmeet. I'm a baby Christian, young people, in many ways, because I was 37 years old before I found the Lord. To my shame, to my sorrow, and the last 27, 28 years had been the most exciting, the most adventurous, the most thrilling, the most exciting years of my life. And I want to tell you something. As a young man, I was in some pretty exciting things. But it ain't nothing compared to the being involved in the work of God and what God has for you. And so I'm here to encourage you to not go the way that I went. I wept before the Lord many times in my spirit and heart because of that great shame in my life. But I can't go back and redo it. I never had the opportunity to sit where you sit. I grew up in an old order Mennonite church. We didn't do this kind of thing. We didn't have revival meetings. We didn't have youth meetings. Never went to Bible school. By the time they asked me to come to Bible school, I wasn't sitting in a student's seat. They put me up front. I haven't got out of there yet. It's all right. I don't want to. Young people, I can't go back and change it, but I can sure encourage you to not go that way. And that's what these youth meetings are going to be all about. Don't go that way. Don't waste your life, young man. Don't waste your life, young sister. God's got some exciting things for you. He has a purpose and a plan for your life in Christ Jesus. And I am here to encourage you to press into that by knowing Him and having an intimate, personal, vital, living relationship with Him, a possession, not just a profession, but a possession, where everybody knows that you possess a living God in you. He's a living reality. Oh, I'm preaching. Well, I'm excited about that possibility because it has been dynamically life-changing for me. And I never want to go back. I want nothing to do with the way it was aforetime. I'm here to put a light of fire in your heart. In the times that we have together, that was just a little introduction, okay? It was just a little one. The times we have together, we're going to look at a young man in the Bible. Every session is going to be relating to him. You see, young people, in a few short years, you're going to be leaders. You're going to be leaders in your homes, marriages, leaders in the church. And I'm here to encourage you, bless you, and light a fire in your heart to be frontline soldiers for Jesus Christ. I'm here to encourage you to live your life on the edge for Jesus Christ. It's not good enough to just be a little mediocre, lukewarm, half-hearted, a little sugar-coated Christianity. God's got some exciting things for you, and it comes your way by pressing into it. Like a young man in the Bible, David. We're going to be speaking about David, and I'm not sure yet exactly which. I have a number of different messages, and I'm still seeking the Lord which ones to bring, but we're going to lay some foundations for that tonight. So in Psalm, you see, in Acts chapter 13, I'm just going to lay some foundations. In Acts chapter 13, verse 22, God himself spoke these words. You can look at that if you wish to. In Acts chapter 13, verse 22, God spoke over David's life these words. And I want to encourage you to get your life in the same place that God can speak these words over you. Acts chapter 13, verse 22. And when he had removed him, Saul, the king that had rejected the Lord, and then the Lord rejected him, he raised up unto them, his people, David, to be their king. We're going to be looking at some of that. To whom also he gave testimony. And here is what God said of David as a young man, when he chose him to be the next king replacing Saul, whom he rejected. I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all of my will. God spoke that over David. Oh, yeah, there went the mic. And the goat. When he was a young man. And my dear young people, if God could speak that over David as a young man back in the Old Testament, God hasn't changed. He desires to speak that over your life as a youth. I have found me a man. I have found me a sister who is after my heart, all of my heart, and to do all of my will. That is speaking when David was anointed to be the king replacing Saul. And at that point in time, David was a young person, just like you. God is still searching and seeking for that kind of man, that kind of sister, someone that is after his heart. Someone that's after his eternal purposes. Someone that's after his heart in Christ Jesus. Someone that's after his values. Someone that's after his passion. Young people, God hasn't changed. Just as in the days of David, he was searching for that kind of
young man, and he found it in a young, youthful man named David. David was a youth when God spoke this testimony, and he wants to speak that over your life as well. Just like Joseph, just like Daniel, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Just like you. God hasn't changed. He still is looking for that kind of young man whose life, or and sister, whose life flows out of his walk with God, doing his will and accomplishing his heart on earth. As his will is done in heaven, he's looking for a man and sister to do his will on earth as it is in heaven, to accomplish his passion on earth as it is accomplished in heaven. He's still searching. And it flows out of a walk with God. It does. And that's exactly who you are here this morning, this evening. Why do I keep saying morning? I didn't preach that long, did I? No, I didn't. Okay. A life that flows out of knowing him. A life that flows out of a walk with him in accomplishing great things for him, as David did. And so even as you sit here, who you are is your walk, your life that's flowing out of your walk with God, or perhaps a lack of it, a walk with God. Notice I had said earlier, David had a possession. I'm not necessarily talking about a profession. I'm a Christian. I'm talking about a possession of the living God being in you, with you, and anointing you, if you would. David's name appears 1,000 times in the Bible. I'm going to try and convince you why we need to look at this man's life, David. God is trying to get our attention to study him. 1,000 times his name is in the Bible. David is one of God's heroes. Now, David wasn't perfect. We Bible readers, we know that. There are 50 chapters in the Bible about David. Only Jesus Christ has more. 90 Psalms written by David. Multitudes of times referred to in the New Testament. David is a type of Jesus Christ. His type and his life typifies Christ. A biography of David is a bit what we're going to draw some things out of his life. All of them when he was a youth. A biography means a man who proved God for who he said he is. You see, God makes some great demands and powerful testimonies of who he is. The challenge is God is looking for a man or a woman who will prove him and the reality of he is who he says he is through a human life. This is David. David proved God and proved that God is who he says he is. David had this grace of God upon his life to do great and mighty things for God. And he did it, young people, when he was a youth. That should really challenge us. That should challenge all of us, not just you youth, but tonight it is geared for the youth because we're looking at David's life when he was a youth. Why does God not use me as he did David? Why? You see, a lot of people, a lot of young people, a lot of old folks too, they think salvation is just all about them. Get that salvation in my back pocket. Know Christ, and then I got my fire escape, and I'm on my way to heaven, and sit around and wait and do our own thing. Until time to go to heaven. Stop my fire escape. No, that's not David. And by the way, you older folks, let me challenge you. Lukewarm youth are nothing more than an offspring of lukewarm folks, parents. Whoops. It's true. If you think the youth ain't quite who they ought to be, I invite you to look at your own life. Are you passionately seeking God's purpose and God's will in your life? We'll get back to you young people. Young people up there.
God hasn't changed. He wants to do again and again and again what he did through David in David's generation of time. In Psalm 71, we'll get back to David here in a moment. In Psalm 71, verse 17, listen to David's prayer. Now, David prayed this prayer when he was old. But he says in verse 17 of verse 71, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. You see, David was all about showing others God's wonderful works. Now he says in verse 18, also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation. Starting when he was a youth, now he's old, and he's praying, God, I don't want to quit now. I want to continue to show this generation thy strength. I want to show this generation thy power. I want to show this generation, as well as when he was a youth, and in generations to come, the great God, the almighty God, the all-powerful God, the miracle-working God, if you would. I want to show. David was just not about himself knowing God. He was concerned about showing others who God is, showing the next generation, beginning from his youth. Perhaps I see two generations there. I'm not sure. But that was his burden. And that's God's heart. And God answered this prayer. God used David mightily to show his generation, but even into the next generation and multitudes of generations to come. Even here today, yea, to this day, we're using David to challenge us in how he showed God's great power. He was an available channel, an available vessel that God could fall through to do great and mighty things. God hasn't changed. The eyes of the Lord are still going to and fro, looking for that man or that young lady whose heart is perfect towards him. Single-minded perfectness, if you would. God, I want to know you. God, I want to be used of you. God, I want to reveal to my generation and beyond your great power and your great strength. This was the heart of David. And God honored him. And God used him mightily. A biography of David. A biography unveils God by example. Rather than just studying principles or concepts that the scriptures teach. Every one of the principles are the things we're going to look at. I could go in other places in the New Testament and I could lift them out and preach on them. But David, rather than just preaching and teaching on the principle, David lived the principle. It's David, as a youth, it was the principle with flesh and blood on. And that makes a biography very interesting because it's not just the principle, but rather it's the principle in somebody's life who lived it. He walked it out while he was on earth. And by the way, David's in the Old Testament. It makes it very inspiring and makes it very interesting because, oh, David could live this. David fleshed this out. David walked with his God and found grace to do this, and it's Old Testament. And if David could do it, and God could use him, then God can do it in my life. David, how did you get your heart in such a position that God could flow through you and use you in that way? God, I want that in my life. I want to show this generation of thy power, thy strength, and thy greatness. David, you did it. How did you do it? Well, it flowed out of his walk with God. And God is still looking for those kinds of young men and young women. It's Bible precepts with meat on. Bible
principles with a life behind it lived out on earth. In real life, how God worked in David's life, in basically living these Bible principles, living these Bible teaching. It's not just the principle. It's lived out. It's real. God will likewise, God, you can do the same in me. If I get my heart thoroughly right and get my focus right and get my passions right, then God can do in my life what God did in David's life. And yea, so much the more so, you're in the New Testament, in the New Covenant. David's in the Old. So Bible principles and Bible concepts with flesh and blood, with meat on it. David lived it, and if he did, I can also. Let's consider this yet before we begin. Going a little deeper. Consider those 90 psalms that David wrote. They were written from a heart that experienced a deep devotional life with God. When you read David's psalms, you're looking into a heart of a deep devotion with God, and God is a living reality to this man. That's why those psalms are such an encouragement to the people of God yet today. Because you're looking into a heart of a man who had a close walk with God. And David wrote those psalms, dear young people. Most all of those 90 psalms he wrote after he was anointed to be the next king. It was not long after that, and that's in 1 Samuel chapter 16. Not long after that, Saul became, the rejected king became very jealous, and he began to chase David. And he chased David for 7 years like a dog. And David was running for his life, anointed to be the next king, but he was not in the kingly palace at all. He was out in the wilderness, running like a dog, with a close, deep devotion with God. And there were those 90 psalms are the longing cry of his struggling heart as Saul chased him like a dog. And that's how those psalms were born. That's how those psalms were inspired. And this is why they're such an encouragement yet today. And David continues to prove God that he is who he says he is, even through those 90 psalms. And David wrote them as a young man. Young men. And they are still inspiring us today. We just considered one of those psalms. In Psalm 71, verse 17, in his prayer. It was not just about salvation, about me. It was bigger than that, much bigger than that. His knowing God, I recognize I'm using New Testament theology here, please understand. But he recognized that God has a plan and a purpose for him. And he pressed into that. And God has the same for you young people. He saved you into his savings account to spend you for his glory. Why do you save money into your savings account? Why do you? You may talk to me. You save money into your savings account, which is much time to get it there, to spend it for something that you want. Well, God saved you into his savings account through Jesus Christ our Lord to spend you for his kingdom's sake and for his glory and for his honor. David understood that. And that's why he was praying here, I want to show your strength and I want to show your might. And your power to everyone that is to come. And he did. Now we need to understand David's family setting just a little bit. David was the youngest of 8 sons of Jesse. He also had 2 sisters, but they were both older than David. He was the 10th born. And the youngest of them all. He was the last born of the family, the youngest of the family, perhaps you might say, the one that sort of tagged along behind the family. He was the baby of the family. How many of you are the baby of the family, young people? None? One? Two? Was that question so difficult? Do I need a whiteboard? How many of you are the baby of the family? Okay, I better not keep asking it because it's increasing. You know, sometimes the baby, that's David, the baby of the family. Sort of the tag along. And there were family issues in David's family. There was tension between David and his brothers. And there may be some tension between you, whether you're the baby or whether you're not. There may be some tension between your siblings, you as siblings. I mean, I'm going to be very practical on this. Is it okay? There may be some tension. We know that there was tension in the family because when David was sent by his father to go to check on his brethren that were at war, David's older brother, Eliab, said unto David as he came from his father, keeping his father's sheep, but let's remember that David had been sent by his father. David was obeying his father. And Eliab, David's older brother, said, I know the pride and the naughtiness of thy heart, he said. There was family issues. There was brotherly issues there. There was a problem there. And furthermore, there was issues in David's family, him being the youngest, or for whatever the reason was. Whenever Samuel came to the house of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, to anoint the next king and have the sacrifice, Jesse brought all David's older brothers, seven of them, but David is the youngest, and he was commanded to bring all his family there. And Samuel starts looking amongst Jesse's sons, waiting to hear from the Lord for the which one he should anoint for the next king. And his father did not even invite David. Interesting. There was issues in the family. There was tension in the family. I'm not sure why Jesse, David's father, didn't invite him. Maybe he was not a very good papa, and you may think your papa's not very good. You may have tension in your family. Whether it's between father and you and father, or whether it's between your siblings, as it was in David's family, I don't know what the tension may be, but when Samuel had looked at all of Jesse's boys, and the Lord said, none of these, let's keep going, and get to the last one, and the Lord hadn't spoken which one to anoint. Then Samuel, the prophet Samuel, says, Jesse, are these all thy sons? Are they all thy sons here? And Jesse goes, da! Yeah, there is one more. But it certainly isn't him that the Lord's going to anoint to be the next king. Very interesting, isn't it? Why am I spending some time on this? Because you may be sitting here tonight as a young man or a young woman, and you may be chafing at your lot in life. You just are not content with your lot in life. Whether it is in your family, whether it is in your siblings, whether it is in the way that God created you and made you, you are not content. You're chafing at that. Maybe you're chafing at the fact that you don't want to be where God has you, or you don't want to be with your parents where your parents have you. Whoops. You're chafing at God's lot for your life. Well, that be David. Now, he wasn't chafing at it. I don't think so. Even though he was the babe in the family, the one that came along behind and perhaps was unwanted. That's why perhaps David had to do what his older brothers didn't want to do. His older brothers were warriors. They were all fighting the battles for the kingdom. But David had to go and watch his father's sheep. And that's where he was when the prophet Samuel came to the house of Jesse to anoint the next king. I'm getting all this, and we'll go there in a moment, out of 1 Samuel 16. You can get ready to go there. But the point is this, my dear young people. David had worked through all that. And David had submitted to all that. His lot in life. How can I say that? Simply because God will not put his hand upon a young man or young woman that is chafing in God's ordained lot for your life. He cannot use you. If you're chafing at your lot in life, whether it's the way God made you, whether it's you're something between your siblings, whether it's something between mom and dad and you, maybe where they are living or something like that, and you don't want to be here. If you are chafing at your lot in life, young person, God can't use you. You begin right here. God put his hand upon David and called him, and I'm here to tell you, young people, David had submitted, even though there was issues between him and his brothers, and even though there was issues between him and his papa, David bowed his heart, and you're going to see that in a bit, how David was totally submitted to his lot in life. Might be another message. Young people, begins right here if you're going to be used of God. In Jesus Christ, you fully and unconditionally submit to your lot in life where God has you, right where you are, right now, in your family, in your geographical location, in the workplace, doing the least of the least, and even perhaps the unwanted work of your mom and your dad, as David was. He was doing the least of the least. He was the least of the least of Jesse's sons, and he was doing the least of the least of his father's work, keeping the sheep. His older brothers had more important things to do. David was that humble servant and doing his father's work. And I suggest to you, he had totally submitted to his lot in life. And I'm here to challenge you. Have you submitted unconditionally to your lot in life? Young people often tend to chafe in these things. They got big ideas, big dreams. Let's stop there. Now let's open our Bibles. Understanding that David submitted and accepted his lot in life, and God put his hand upon his life because of that submission. 1 Samuel 16 now. Here's where the story I just gave you is beginning to take place. 1 Samuel 16, verse 1. Here the Lord spoke unto Samuel the prophet. How long wilt thou mourn for Saul? The Lord has rejected Saul. Because Saul had rejected the Lord. And he told Samuel the prophet to fill a whole cow's horn full of oil and go. And he tells him where to go. I'll send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite. For I have provided me a king. Now let's park right here for a while. The Lord is saying, and we know in a few verses later, that new king is the least of the least of Jesse's sons, David. But the Lord spoke over David to the prophet Samuel, I have provided me a king. Now, at this time, David is approximately, the different people have different ideas. Some would say, maybe 16, 17, 18. years of age. We're not really totally sure, but confident he was a youth. You see, he was 27 to 30 years of age when he became the king the first time, and he ran from Saul in the wilderness for 7 years, and he served 2 to 3 years before that in the house of Saul. So that makes him somewhere 18, 20 years of age. Now, how many of you does that cover? 16, 17, 18, 20 years of age. How many? Elbows above the ears. There we go. Okay, just about all of you. That's what I thought. Thank you. That didn't hurt, did it? Oh, of course not. Okay. He was a youth when God spoke this over David's life. I have provided me a king. I have my man to be the next king. Now, as you park on that here in verse 1 of chapter 16, I want you to think about that for a while. God is speaking that over David's life as a youth. God is giving testimony, as we had looked at earlier, I have found a man, David, who is after my heart to do all of my will. Now here he gives another testimony. He says, I have provided me a king. This man is all about me. This man is all about my will. This man is all about my passion. Then I had to think, young people, as you park on that. As a youth, just park there for a while. God is giving testimony of this youthful young man, David. I have provided me a king. How was it? How was it when Saul was made king? Just keep your hand here in chapter 16, and you go back to chapter 8, 1 Samuel chapter 8, but keep your hand here in chapter 16, we're going to be back. Here is how it was when Saul was made king. And again, the Lord is speaking to Samuel, verse 22, chapter 8, verse 22, 1 Samuel. The Lord said to Samuel, hearken unto their voice and make them a king. You see, Saul was a king for the people. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, go ye every man to his house. Saul was for them, not the Lord. It's altogether different when you come to where David now is anointed to be the next king, following after Saul, after the Lord has rejected Saul, because Saul has rejected the Lord. You see, Saul was all about them. Saul was all about for them, nothing about for the Lord. It's altogether different when David is anointed king. And you know what? Saul made shipwreck in very short order because it was all about himself. Too many young people and older people too, young people, don't have to say amen. Our salvation is too much about ourselves. It's not about the Lord. It's not about his kingdom building. It's not about doing great things. Not about proving him strong. Not about showing his strength. It's all about me. That's how it was with Saul. But it was not that way with David. You see, with David, dating back to chapter 16, for I have provided me a king. This man is after my heart. This man is all about my work. This man is all about my passion. This man is all about my will. And what I want to do, he's only a channel. He's only a vessel. And I'm going to flow through him for me, for my glory, for my honor. Yes, David made some mistakes when he was older. But when he was a youth, this is what God said. I have provided me a king. And David is only, let's say, for number's sake, 18 years old here. And he does not come from a kingly family. He does not have a kingly heritage in Christ Jesus as perhaps you do. His father is not a king. neither are they a well-to-do family. Just a lowly shepherd keep sheep-keeping family. David is not a learned and eloquent youth. Not at all, as perhaps some of us are. You, not me. I'm very ignorant and unlearned, and you say, probably think, well, you didn't have to tell me that already. I could hear that. But that's how David was. Just like the early church disciples, he was an ignorant and unlearned man. Didn't come from an eloquent family. Didn't come from a learned family. Didn't come from an educated family. And neither is David rich. David is simply the youngest of a big, common, ordinary family. But God here puts his hand upon David and says, I have provided me a king for my kingdom work, for my kingdom building. And by the way, when David was king, he doubled the size of the kingdom of Israel. Most times he doesn't get credit for that. He was the greatest king that God's nation Israel ever had. There's never any greater than him. That's why he's God's hero. Not perfect, we know that. But he was a king for the Lord. He was a king for God's kingdom, for God's glory. And God hasn't changed. He's still looking for kings and priests that will prove him strong and mighty. But young people, we've got to tune our hearts for God and for his passion and his purposes, as David did. God says, I've provided me. Now, let me just park here for a little bit. Can God speak that over you? I have provided me. Now, you don't necessarily know what that next word is. For David, it was a king. But God wants to speak over every one of your lives. I have provided me. You fill in the blank. A godly anointed youth. I have, and you don't necessarily know exactly what he has. Perhaps you don't, maybe you do. What he has for that next little word. I have provided me. For David, it was to be a king. For you, it may be a handmaiden of the Lord, sisters, an anointed handmaiden of the Lord. I have provided me. Like I said, you don't necessarily know what that next little word may be. I have provided me an anointed soul winner. I have provided me a wise Bible teacher. I have provided me a godly husband. You see what I'm doing? I have provided me an anointed pastor. I have provided me a help me. I have provided me a world missionary. I have provided me. Papas and mamas, help me. You may talk to me. I don't have to do all the talking, do I? I have provided me a humble, obedient servant to mom and dad. I have provided me a hidden servant in doing the lowly, humble, dirty work that nobody else wants to do. You get it? I have provided me. God wants to speak that over your life. And perhaps you don't know what that little word is thereafter. For David, it was to be king. And it is your servant's desire and heartbeat that you would begin to cry out unto the Lord and say, God, what is that little word after? I have provided me. God, I don't want to miss it. And it's going to flow out of your diligent, earnest, passionate walk of knowing God. I don't want to miss it. Look what David could have missed if if he wouldn't have had that walk with God that he did. I have provided me. I want to stir holy desire in your heart to be after what that little word is. After I have provided me. It is God's heart. For David, it was to be king, as I already said. But for you, it's God only knows. I don't know what it is. But he saved you into his kingdom for a work he has for you to do. God saved you into his savings account, as I said earlier, to spend you, to prove his strength, to prove his might, to prove unto others God is who he says he is. Almighty, all wise, all knowing, all powerful. He wants to flow through you to prove to your generation and beyond that that's who God is, and he's your God. I have provided me. Young people, God saved you into his kingdom for something for you to do. And he wants you to press through in knowing him to discover what that is, what he has for you. And he's got exciting things for you to do. And it's God's heart that you would tune your heart with him. You would set your heart aright 100%. Get right with God 100%. Put away all those questionable things in your life. Get that gray area out of your life and live fully in the light and the glorious light of our Lord Jesus Christ for his honor and for his glory. And stop wasting time in those things that have no kingdom value and no kingdom glory and no kingdom honor. And they have nothing to do with proving God's great strength and God's great might. Whoa. You know what I'm talking about. Wasting time. I have provided me a man after my own heart. That's what God said about David. I have provided me a sister after my own heart. God has something for you to do, young people. He has a work for you. Saved you into his kingdom for such a time as this. To accomplish. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need a, and you have never repented and turned away from your selfish own self living, you need to get right with the Lord in a salvation rebirth experience first. Perhaps there are some of you that way. Oh, maybe you made a little commitment back there when you were 5, 6, 7 years old or 10 or something like that. But my challenge to you right here, right now, is God a living reality in your heart right now? David had a living reality with God. God was a living reality. It was not just something the preacher talked about, not just something the evangelist got excited all about in front of the pulpit. Is God a living reality? He's real. You hear his voice and you know him. You have a living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It begins right there. If you don't have that kind of living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got to start right there. God has a work for you to do, and it only begins once you're born again and you have that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The work that he has for you to do flows out of you having that relationship, that union, communion we talked about the first night. Some of you perhaps were not here. What he has for you is an outflow, an overflow of the inflow of knowing him and having the possession of God being a living reality. Jesus Christ is a living reality. He's alive in my heart. And I tell you what, that's life-changing. That's where his purposes and his, what he has for you, that's where it begins. And having that relationship with him. David had that relationship with him. And that's how God could accomplish through him what he had for him. Starts right there, young people. Then you begin to zero in. Listen to what David said in
You know what? I may not. Let me get that in another message.
Where David only had one thing,
and that was to be in the presence of the Lord.
We'll get that later.
God has something for you to do for him. But you'll never know what it is till you get fully in tune with God. Many, many young people just meandering through their youthful years, wasting and frolicking their lives away from one great fun event of one volleyball game to the next. One exciting, I'm not saying volleyball's wrong, okay. You're probably planning to play volleyball. That's all right. But just looking for that fun experience, that next big party, the next big fun thing, not even thinking about, God, what am I here for? Why did you save me into your kingdom? What do you have for me? Young people, we need to focus on God, cry for it, beg God for it, plead God for it, weep for it. God, what do you have for me to do? He's got something. It may just to be an ordinary witnessing, sharing God's love at the workplace, a father, a mother. I'm not saying that he's calling you all to go around the world. Not saying that. But I'm saying God has something for you to do for his honor and for his glory and for his power and his strength to flow through you to show the world who he is. He is looking for those kinds of people. This is who David was. He was very different than his seven brothers. God just passed his seven brothers up. Oh, they were not ungodly. We'll look at that in the next session. They were brothers. They were brethren. But they did not have their hearts right with God like David did. David's heart was at a total different place. And I tell you, my dear young person, God is still looking for young men and young women that'll snap their hearts and they'll say, God, I want to be that kind of a young person that God can speak over my life. I have found me a man, a sister that's after my heart to do all of my will. Not half of it, not part of it, not some of it, all of it. And he's got a will for you. He's got a plan for you. And God wants to speak over your life. I have provided me. Only God knows what that next little word is. Maybe it's a big word. Do you want that, young people? Is that really your heart? What are you after anyhow? What's your passion? What's your purpose in life? God's got something for you, and I'm here to inspire you and encourage you and to put a holy fire in your heart to go after with all that you have and what God has for you and the purposes, the eternal purposes that he saved you into his kingdom to accomplish. I'm here to encourage you to stop wasting. I want to stop wasting my time. I want to know God and I want to know his purposes for my life. God can speak over your life. I have provided me a godly youth that I can flow through to show my strength and my power, a godly possession that everyone will know the Lord is with him. That's what others said about David. The Lord is with him. His power. Oh, did I frighten you? His power is working in that brother's life. His power is working. Not just a profession, but a possession. The Lord has, I have provided me, whatever it may be. Jesus said, many are called. A few are chosen. Many are called. but few are chosen. What makes all the difference? It's your heart, and your purposes of your heart in Christ makes all the difference. Jesus said that. And when you come into the life of Jesus, you will find multitudes follow Jesus. But more times than not, young people, there was only one that got the touch of God. The woman that had the blood issue. Multitudes of people were following Jesus. So much that they were beep-bopping against him. And Jesus says, "Who touched me?" And it was that one woman that reached out and touched him. And multitudes of people are called, but few get the touch and the virtue of his presence and his power. Will you be one of those? Now, every one of you can be that few. Every one of you can be that one. Every one of you, you are the one that decides in getting thoroughly right with God and tuning your heart to him and forsaking and sacrificing all the nonsense and the foolishness and the frolicking and all that other stuff that goes on so many times. I will pursue him. I will seek him. And yeah, it's going to set you apart from the brethren. I need to speak plainly. It set David apart from his brethren too. He was the only one that got the blessing. He was the only one that got the anointing. You are the one that his brothers were brethren. They were not ungodly men. No way. Jesse is now the third generation of a godly home. And Jesse would have never paraded ungodly men before the prophet Samuel. They were brethren, just as it says here in 1 Samuel. Chapter 16. We're going to close with this. Verse 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, David, in the midst of his brethren. And they were brothers. But their hearts were in a total different place. David's heart was one with God. A heart that had a passion to do all of his will. His heart had a, like God said of David, "I have found me a man after my heart." I'm egging you on tonight to tune your heart, to have that kind of heart for God. I'm inspiring you. And it's going to set you apart from the rest of the brethren. Perhaps. Perhaps. Let's pray. Let's close our eyes and pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, I thank you for this young man, David, a youthful young man that you testified over. "I have found me a man after my heart that would do all of my will." And out of that kind of heart you spoke over this young man's life. "I have found me, for my kingdom, for my glory." I have found, provided me a king. Lord, I know your eyes are going to and fro across the whole earth yet today. That to find that kind of a heart, as you found in David, that you can prove yourself strong for your glory and for your honor. And I pray as your eyes go across this room, of our dear youth and young people, that there would be those, that there would be a snap of the heart that would say, "God, doesn't matter what it costs. It doesn't matter how great the sacrifice is. It does not matter what others will say. It does not matter what. I want that over my life. I want you to be able to say, I have found a man. I have found a sister after my heart, to do all of my will. I have provided me," whatever that may be, Lord, in this young man or that woman.
I pray you would do that in the hearts of these dear young people, that you could speak this kind of testimony over them, and that you would flow through them as channels only to prove your greatness, prove your power and your strength as you did in David. I pray you would do that in the hearts of these youth here tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Every head bowed.